And we're going to read from verse 31 down to verse 40. Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 31, says, "But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Let your loins be girded about, and your lights burning, and ye yourselves like unto men that wait for their Lord when he will return from the wedding, that when he cometh and knocketh, they may open unto him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down to meat, and will come forth and serve them. And if he shall come in the second watch, or come in the third watch, and find them so, blessed are those servants. And this know, that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched, and not have suffered his house to be broken through. Be therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not." So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the year that you've given us, 2018, and with all of its ups and downs, we know that there's different things we maybe didn't ask for, or at the time appreciate, that came this year, but we realize that all things work together for good, and that you've been with us through it all, and that you've taught us many things. And Lord, we just pray today that you would teach us from your word as we look towards another year dawning, and just give us wisdom. And just help us, Lord, to prepare us for whatever we will face this year, Lord. And above all, if this is a year that you would come again, just prepare us for your coming, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen. And our kids, they enjoy playing hide and seek, as most kids do. And it's always, they want to find the perfect spot to hide. And it's one thing when it's outside, there's a whole lot more places to find, but when it's inside, it gets to be a little bit more difficult, because once they've hidden in one spot, they can't go back there. Even though some of the younger ones, they think, this is such a good spot, I'm going to use it three or four times, and it doesn't work. And so a lot of times what'll happen is I'll be in one room, and I'll be counting, and so then I'll ask, "Are you ready?" It's like, "Not ready." So wait a little while, "Are you ready?" "Not ready." And they'll get to a certain point where I'll say, "Ready or not, here I come." And we realize that there's so much in life, our lives, that is spent in preparation, in making ourselves ready. We really think of that with this past month, with Christmas, how so much time was spent making preparation for the Christmas season, where we were baking things, we were buying presents, we were decorating, we're getting things ready for guests to arrive. We want to make sure a home is prepared, that it's looking clean, food is ready. We don't have to make a whole bunch of extra runs to the grocery store to get stuff that we would need. And it can be the same. We put in any kind of performance. There's a lot of time preparing and practicing, and all that preparation can be very extensive, and the reason why is because we want to make sure that we're ready. And in our everyday lives, there are plenty of things that we need to spend time preparing for. We think that as we're growing up, that school is in many ways preparation for adulthood. There's things that we're trying to learn so that one day we can join the workforce, we can become responsible and be able to provide for ourselves and others. And we think even with school itself, there's much time preparing for school, getting lunches made, studying for tests. And as well as we pass into different stages of life, we make preparation for other events. We think of people that are going to get married, that there's a lot of preparation that goes into that, of getting the church, getting it decorated, finding the dress, getting the cake ordered, the photographer, everything else. And as well, you think of someone that's welcoming, soon to be welcoming a newborn child, that there's different things that are done, of getting a crib, getting some clothes. And it's kind of the thing is that there's a lot of stuff for to get ready for, and usually it's always that day that the focus on is being ready for. But it's often, we think about it, that we can spend a lot of time in being ready for that day, but then we want to understand we also need to invest time being ready for that whole change in our lives too, because it's like a lot of times we can have a perfect wedding, but then we realize, boy, was I ready for this? There's a whole lot that I have to learn, and I maybe wasn't prepared for once I became married to someone else. Or it can be, we're prepared for when the baby comes, but are we prepared to be parents? That all the things that happen, that we a lot of times, I know with us, Lee and I thought, oh yeah, we should be pretty good parents, and having our first, she really kind of showed us how unprepared we were in many ways, and how much we had to learn. But it's kind of that idea, is we want to try to be ready. And we think that there's some that have to maintain a constant state of readiness. We think, for instance, of our volunteer firefighters, where if you walk into the fire hall on any given day, you'll find their boots and their coats and all their other equipment is ready to go, that it's ready to be put on as quickly as possible. And everything in their fire trucks is in a certain place, so if it's needed, it can be easily found. And then after every call-out, when their firefighters return into the hall, even though they might have spent many hours fighting a fire and be wore out, that isn't something where it's like, okay guys, we'll just go home, we'll deal with this tomorrow. No, the thing is, what has to happen is they go, everything has to be cleaned, everything has to be dried, everything has to be put back to be where it belongs, and those boots that they use, or they have to have everything back in its slot in the right place, so that if a call comes again, they're ready. And why is that? It's because seconds count. If they're not ready and they were delayed because of their lack of readiness, lives might actually be at stake. And so maintaining a state of readiness is not always easy, but in many situations it can be very important. For instance, if we know first aid, if we have a first aid kit that's available, we may never use it, but in certain situations that could be life-saving. Having an emergency kit in our vehicle, knowing how to change a tire or boost a vehicle, that can get us out of a lot of jams, and especially in the winter months, it can be critical for our own safety. We can't always anticipate what will come, but as much as possible, we do want to be ready. And so we're coming to the end of 2018, and I know for our family, it's kind of seemed like we've been running a marathon, just trying to get certain things done, but it has been a good year. It's had its challenges and its blessings, but of course it's drawing to a close and a new year is dawning. And so a question we all want to ask is, are we ready to face the coming year? And unfortunately, if we don't feel that we are, we can't just say, just a few more days, just add a few more to the calendar, I'm not quite ready yet. Because ready or not, here it comes. And so how can we be ready for 2019? How can we predict all that is going to happen? And the thing is, if we're focusing on worrying about all that could happen this year, that's not a way that we want to start the year off. That's not a way we want to live. And that's certainly not the way God wants us to live. We actually see Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5, or Matthew chapter 6 rather, in verse 34, he says, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And that's the thing, we don't need to borrow trouble by worrying over the future, over what could happen. Because things can change so rapidly, things could go way beyond what we expect, but things could be not anywhere near as bad as we might expect. And so we do need to learn to take one day at a time. But yet we realize there is a critical event. It may come in 2019, it may not, but whether it comes or not, we as Christians need to live in a constant state of readiness for it. And it's actually, we want to understand that as we are prepared for this event, it ensures that we're ready for whatever else may happen in life. And the event of which I speak of course, is the coming again of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That we read through the Scriptures promise over and over again of Jesus coming again. We know in the Old Testament that there's so many different prophecies yet to be fulfilled of Him coming in glory to set up His kingdom and other things. But in the New Testament as well, we just realize as He's bringing everything to completion of how there's going to be a catching up to be with Him. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth. And that our lives, everything that we hope for and look forward to is going to come about. And so in this passage specifically, we see that Jesus is speaking in terms of His coming again, and He's calling upon us to live in a constant state of readiness for His return. And so He says that we're to seek first the kingdom of God, that we're not to worry about how we're going to be provided for, we're going to just trust that the Lord will provide for us as we put Him first. And we don't have to live in fear, that there's so much that the Lord wants to give unto us and bless us with. And we need not live in fear and anxiety. It talks about in verse 33 of this idea that our investments ought to be in heavenly things, not in earthly things. Because it's the thought, we're not going to be here forever. We realize that this world one day will pass away, everything that's in it will be gone. And we look for that new heaven and the new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. And so we don't seek to have treasure on earth where moth and rust doth corrupt, where thieves break through and steal. Instead, we want to have treasure in heaven. And we want to think in those terms of like, what can I do that's going to count for eternity? And so we want to think in those terms. We see as well in verse 35, it says, "Let your loins be girded about and your lights burning." And that phrase, having our loins girded, that's not something we're familiar with nowadays. But when we understand the culture and actually the fashion of those times, it makes a lot of sense. Because what happened in those days, the men, they didn't actually wear pants. I'm not sure when pants were actually invented. But they actually wore a tunic that came about to the knees, whereas women, they wore one that went right down to the ankles. But for the men, that it gave them quite a lot more mobility because they were busy doing different things. But at certain times, say if they had to run long distances, say if they were working hard, or say they had to fight, they didn't want to have this tunic flapping around every which way, catching on stuff. They needed to gird up their loins. And so what they do is they take the cloth from their tunic and they basically bring it up and they tuck it into their belt or girdle. And so that was called girding up your loins. And so if that's how you were, that meant you were ready. Ready to work, ready to fight, ready to run, that you were prepared for whatever was coming. And so it's kind of the thing you would think about. A guy in the battle, as the enemy is charging toward him, he's like, wait, I got to get my stuff in order before you come. It's like, that's not going to happen. You're not going to have time. And so there's that idea of being ready. And so that's what he's talking about, with their loins be girt about. You're ready for what's coming, that you're prepared. And he says as well this idea that we're to have our lights burning. There's a significance to that. Of course, we know that the Lord he speaks of Himself as the light of the world, but as well He speaks of us as believers as the light of this world, that He wants to shine His light through us to those that are in darkness. And so this is in Matthew chapter 5. He says, "Ye are the light of the world, a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick. And giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And so we have a light to shine. We have a life to live that is a beacon to guide others to a place of safety and deliverance. And so he wants our light to be shining. We see as well the parable that he gives in Matthew chapter 25. And it's the idea of these young ladies that were waiting for the bridegroom to come because they were going to be part of this celebration. These five, there are 10 virgins, 5 were wise, 5 were foolish. The ones that were wise, they had their lamps and they had extra oil as well. Because of course back then, we would tend to think of a lamp that would be something that we would plug in. And of course they didn't have electricity back then. We might think in terms of like a kerosene lantern. Of course they didn't have those back then either. And the oil that they would have used would have been olive oil most likely. And a lot of times what they did is they had basically like this kind of pot, and it had kind of a wick that they could put in it, and that would be their lamp that they would light. It usually would have a little bit of a handle. It was usually made out of clay, and so that they could carry it around. And so it's only so big, and so it can only last for so long. And so they're waiting, and they're waiting, and the bridegroom is tarrying, and so they all fell asleep. But at midnight, there's a cry made, the bridegroom's coming, go up to meet him. And they're all ready, and they went to trim their lamps. And of course, that's trimming the wick and making sure that it's able to be as bright as possible. And the foolish said, well, give us oil, we're out. And they said, well, we have what we need. If we give some to you, then we'll all be without light. And so go buy for himself. And they went to do that. Then they came back and the door was shut and they couldn't be part of the wedding because they weren't ready. And so it's that idea, is that we want to have our light shining. We want to have what we need so that we can continue to shine. And really it's kind of a picture in many ways of where are we getting our light from. That it's something that we can't shine on our own. That we need to have Him sustaining us. We need to have really the Holy Spirit being that light within us. And as we have our relationship with Him and we follow Him, that He gives us that light to shine. And so it's that thought that we are to be watching. We are to be prepared for His arrival. And that's that idea. It says, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when He cometh, shall find watching. And it's that idea, is that you think of someone that's a sentinel or someone that's a watchman or that they're on guard duty, that they're always looking out. And it's so important, especially in the military, that's one of the first things they try to teach people is they put them on guard duty. And it's where they have to learn how to stay awake when there's nothing to do and it's dark and they would rather go to sleep. Because if they're in a combat zone, it could be life or death if they don't know how to do that. And it's actually kind of interesting if you can really kind of tell people that have been in the military, if you're in a church and it's a really long, boring sermon, that they'll actually go get up out of their seat and stand at the back because they don't want to fall asleep. And so they've trained themselves how to stay awake so that they can actually take in what is being preached. And so it's really that idea of having that alertness, having that awareness that we don't want to sleep as do others. We want to watch and be sober. We want to be paying attention. We want to see what's going on in this world around us, what's happening, and we don't want to be caught off guard. That the Lord Jesus is coming, even though we don't know the day or the hour, we know that there are plenty of signs of His coming all around us. There's nothing prophetically that really has to happen before He comes, and so it could be any day. And we want to be ready for it. And because that's the thing, we don't know when He'll come, but ready or not, He is going to come. And of course the challenge for us lies in the fact, it's been nearly 2,000 years ago since Christ made these statements here in Luke chapter 12. A lot of has transpired in the course of history, and there's been a whole lot of people that have wrongly predicted when Christ will come, only to be disappointed. And we don't want to be like that, where we're setting dates and trying to think, oh, I'm so smart, I can figure out when Jesus is coming, because he says, no man knows the day or the hour. And if he says that, we have to agree with him. We shouldn't argue with him and try to think, oh, I'm someone that would know that. But it is something with this passage of time. We sometimes can be lulled into thinking, well, it may be thousands of years yet before he comes. And so life just is going to continue on as it always is. And that really, that has no bearing on my life that he could be coming, because it's probably not going to be in my lifetime. But we want to understand that God has not forgotten his promise. It is going to come to pass, but there are specific reasons why his coming has been delayed. The first reason we see in 2 Peter 3 in verse 9, where Peter makes the following statement. He says, "The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." It isn't something where God's like goofing off, or he just kind of being lazy, or just, well, I just haven't gotten around to coming back, I've got other things that have taken my time. That's not it at all. The whole reason, the big reason why he hasn't come yet, is because he's so long-suffering. Because he sees there's so many people that don't know him all through the world, and he wants there to be time for them to come to know him as Savior. And he wants, and that's really why we understand that he tells to us to go into the gospel, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, because he wants everybody to know, each generation, he wants them to have that opportunity, that everyone can hear of him, everyone can have the chance to come to repentance and trust him as Savior, because he doesn't want anybody to perish. And so we can be thankful for that, that he has delayed his coming. It's a sign of how long-suffering he is. But we do realize there is going to be a time that's going to come to an end. The time in which we now live, we often refer to as the age of grace. But at a certain point, this age of grace is going to draw to a close. And all these other prophecies and promises that God has in his word are going to be fulfilled. And so we need to be ready. And that's what we see in the following verses there in 2 Peter 3. It says, "But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless." And so that's thought, that we need to be looking for his coming. That because we know these things are to come, we think, well, what kind of person should I be? And we think, I need to live in holiness. I need to live in godliness. I need to be found of him in peace, where I'm not fighting against God, but I'm having his peace because I'm right with him. That I don't have anything that I have to try to cover up or explain. That instead I'm without spot and blameless. That's what we want him to find us as. And so, understanding that we know he's coming, and he's just delaying because of his long suffering for us. But as well, we want to understand that the second reason that Jesus is delaying his coming is because he is making preparation for us. We see this in John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And that's what we want to realize, is that He is calling us to be ready, but the thing is, at the same time, He is making things ready for us. That there's a work that He's doing, and of course, we don't exactly understand how it works in heaven if Jesus has this whole construction crew of angels that are basically building these different mansions for us to live in. I don't know exactly how it works, but it's this idea that He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you. And because I'm going, that's the idea, I am coming back. And so be ready when I come that you can enjoy the blessings for us. And really we want to understand that, of just the blessings that are awaiting us in heaven, that we really understand that there is an inheritance that we have through Christ. And it speaks of the Holy Spirit indwelling us as being the earnest of our inheritance, the down payment, that showing us that what is going to come. And if God Himself dwelling within us is the down payment, how much more shall be the full receiving of that inheritance? And so we see in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. And so we really want to understand that He's preparing things for us. He's at work doing that, and it's going to be amazing. But this is the thought that we want to have with this. If He is at work making preparation for us, are we at work making preparation for Him? That He is making all things ready, and are we making ourselves ready? That in Revelation 19 we read of this future event that we call the marriage supper of the Lamb, where Christ is the groom, and the church assembled in heaven at the end of the age is the bride of Christ. And we see this in Revelation 19 and verse 7. It says this: let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And so it's kind of the picture that we have. It's, you think of a wedding where the groom, of course, he kind of typically there's different things he does, but the preparation he makes a lot of times isn't so much as the preparation as the bride to be makes in terms of the dress and getting hair done and everything else. But just imagine if it was like, okay, it's time to be married, and you're ready to open the doors, and the organist is there to play Here Comes the Bride, and somebody comes out, just wait, the bride's not ready yet. She still has to finish her hair. That it would be just such an awkward situation, right? And it's the idea with us, that we are His bride. We want to be ready for Him. And that He's making Himself ready for us, we want to be ready for Him. That's what we are supposed to be doing. 1 John chapter 3, it talks about, beloved, now are we the sons of God, and doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. And so that's that thought, that He's coming again, we're going to see Him face to face, we want to be ready to meet Him, we want to be as a bride adorned for her husband. We want to purify ourselves as He is pure. And all of us, I think, have had an experience where someone comes early or unexpectedly and we're not ready. Say, our house is not clean, we're still in our pajamas, our hair isn't combed, and we're less like, we send one of the kids to the door and we just tell them, stall for as long as you can before you let them in. And we're hurriedly throwing everything into every drawer and closet we can find and trying to make ourselves look like we're ready. But I think if we've ever experienced that, that's an experience we never want to repeat. Just the feelings that we have in that moment of panic, of embarrassment, of shame. And how much more so we realize how it would feel if Christ came and we were not ready. If we were too busy living our own life, that we never really focused on the things of God as we should have, if there's certain things that the Lord was telling us that we need to deal with, that we kept procrastinating on, that He gave us ample warning, and we never listened, that all of a sudden we hear the trumpet sound and He's here, and there's not going to be any time to deal with all of that. And we read of what Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, where he says, I've fought a good fight, I've finished my course, I've kept the faith. And henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, but not to me only, but to all them also that love His appearing. And it's the thought, if we're doing right, and if we're in the right frame of mind as Christians, we're going to be glad to see Him. We're going to love His appearing. But if we're doing wrong, we're not going to be glad at His appearing. And really, He's going to just know right away by the look on our face if we're ready or not. But the thing is, though, Jesus wants to give each of us a crown of righteousness. He wants to say to each of us, well done, good and faithful servant. He wants us to be ready so that His coming again, whenever it does happen, will be a joyful time for Him and for us. And the warnings that He gives are not to scare us, they're given to prepare us. He wants to help ensure that we're ready. And so as we say goodbye to 2018 and we look towards the coming year, I just want to give you a thought from the Scriptures that you can meditate upon, which can help carry you through whatever comes in 2019. And so it's found in 1 John 2, verse 28. And this might be one you might want to copy down to just meditate on, memorize, just dwell upon. That can be a help to you. 1 John 2 and verse 28 says, And now, little children, abide in Him, that when He shall appear we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. And that's the thing, is He has not left us alone to struggle along in our own strength, trying to handle the challenges of life, trying to meet an impossible standard of holiness. We understand that He has sent His Holy Spirit to dwell within us. He wants us to have a dynamic personal relationship with Him, and through that relationship find the strength that we need to live our lives as we should. That we can't be holy without His strength. That the idea, if we're to be godly, we need to have God in us, shining through us. And so it's the idea, we're going to dwell with Him forever in heaven one glorious day, but right now we want to understand we can dwell with and abide in Him. And that's the thought, that we need to abide in Him, in that close relationship with Him. That we see in John chapter 15, it has this idea that Jesus is the vine, we're the branches, and we have to be connected to the vine in order to bear fruit. That He wants us to learn to do that. We abide in Him, we abide in His Word, we abide in His love. John 15, in verse 9, says, As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. And that's the idea that we need to abide in Him, that He desires to lead us each day, and He gives us His Word to guide us each day, to guide our lives, to help us to know what to do. And so life, if we're abiding in Him, becomes very simple. Where He says, Lord, what You would have me to do, not my will, but Thine be done. That You want me to go this way, I want to follow You. You want me to do this, and it seems kind of worrisome, but I'm not going to panic, I'm not going to run away, I'm going to trust You. Trust You're going to be with me through this. And so as we live by His Word, and as we walk in its light day by day, we grow in Him, we mature, and we become more and more fruitful. And so when we live in such a way, His coming again is not going to be a shock to our system. Because it's as we've been living close to Him in faith, then it's basically our faith becomes sight. That it's like, You've been here all this time in my life, and now I get to see You face to face. And it's not going to be something where we're upset about it, it's going to be somewhere we're rejoicing. It's almost, you could kind of have a picture of where, say if we're on the phone with someone we haven't seen for a long time, and we're just talking with them, and then all of a sudden they're right in front of us, and we don't have to talk on the phone anymore, we can talk face to face. That's how it's going to be with the Lord Jesus, and that's how he wants it to be, that we have that closeness with him, that it's not like we have this parting and we're just worried about what it's going to be like, where it's we're with him each day and we know that we're pleasing him, we know that we have his acceptance. And when that happens, it's not going to be a time where we're afraid. Instead, it's going to be a time where we rejoice, where we see all that he said is true, all the tribulations that we faced were worth it, that he's going to keep his promises, and that I'm going to be in the joy of the Lord for the rest of eternity. And so, ready or not, the new year is going to come. And ready or not, Christ may come. But through abiding in him, we all can be ready, so that his coming again will be a day of rejoicing, as it ought to be. And as we abide in him, whatever comes in this coming year, he'll be with us to help us to handle it. So may the Lord help us that we would abide in him and be ready for his coming. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word, and we just pray you'd help us, Lord, to draw nigh to you, to be always thinking that you could come again even before this day is over, and help us to live with you, and that we might know that we are pleasing to you, and that that when you do come, that we will be ready. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's stand. We'll turn to one more song before we conclude this morning.